AI and us.
AI and us.
Und wir.
KI und wir.
What artificial intelligence
means for our lives.
Was künstliche Intelligenz
means for our lives.
Was künstliche Intelligenz für unser Leben bedeutet.
An Alexander von Humboldt Foundation Science Podcast.
Ein Wissenschaftspodcast
der Alexander von Humboldt Stiftung.
Episode 7. Can AI be like us?
AI's intelligence is limited. Ask anyone who regularly communicates with virtual assistants. Milica Gacic wants to make AI fit for counseling situations. In her work, she is constantly faced with this problem.
You can always have a new dialogue that has never been produced before, but it sounds perfectly reasonable. And somehow humans are able to do that. They don't mind that they hear a sentence that they never heard before. They can work with it, they can understand it, they can reply to that. And this is what makes natural language processing so difficult.
Artificial intelligence is particularly efficient when it analyzes data that is similar to the data it was trained with. The systems are always made for a specific purpose. They can drive a car or play Go, but not both. Moreover, AI can often only focus on the immediate moment. It doesn't know what it did yesterday and doesn't have a clue what could happen tomorrow. When it comes to conversations, this is not useful. Milica Gacic is working on virtual assistants with which people can build some kind of a connection, a reciprocal relationship.
Another aspect is being able to have what we call goal-driven conversation, like fulfilling a task, like booking a flight, finding a restaurant, or say teaching the user something. And if you want to have a goal-driven conversation, at every point in dialogue, the system needs to make a decision what to say back. And it needs to do that in such a way as to fulfill the goal at the end of the conversation. So it needs to predict how its action now influences the outcome later. So basically, at every point in time, the system has to keep track of past and predict the future.
These are important steps. But a lot has to happen before artificial intelligence can really understand what we want. Feelings, for example. If a virtual assistant could understand our mood, there might be fewer misunderstandings. But does it need feelings of its own in order to do so?
In order to understand your feelings, it's very helpful that I can consider myself in your shoes. Then I can empathize with you. I can feel that feeling that you have.
Humboldtian Christian Becker Asano. The problem that AI can't understand feelings is infamous, he says.
One big criticism of artificial intelligence systems was in the 1990s that they were unembodied, that you cannot have anything intelligent that is not inside the world with all its senses. So it needed to be something that has an own body, embodiment, it was called. And situatedness was the other term. So it needs to be in a situation with its own body, with its own senses. And that's why, for me, robotics is a very interesting and intriguing aspect of artificial intelligence.
Initially, a body is helpful in understanding the world better. We perceive the world via our bodies. Perhaps a body would enable robot AI to understand gravity or the warmth of the sun. We start to develop understanding via our bodies whilst we are still in the womb, says Martin Butz, professor of computer science, psychology, and cognitive systems at the University of Tübingen. Artificial intelligence is nowhere near that.
These systems severely lack a true understanding of the environment, really. If you just see texts that explain stuff in the world that are, but also just novels and so forth, right? There is only so much that's written in these texts. Particular aspects are usually not written down in standard texts.
Even images and videos are not enough to really understand the world. But perhaps an artificial intelligence doesn't necessarily need to reside in a robot's body.
From the cognitive science side, it is clear that our minds are embodied. We develop our understanding of the world through experiencing the world through our bodies. But the machine, in my opinion, it's not necessary to have really a body, but nonetheless, they need to develop an understanding of this somehow, and this understanding essentially must mimic the true world.
Martin Boots says AI can continue to be virtual and learn in a virtual world, but it must be exactly like the real world.
And this gives them an access to learn about this basic common sense aspects of our true environment.
The new robot has just arrived, darling.
Just a minute. Open the box.
Our RoboVac will have some company at last.
Oh, it's so lonely, poor thing.
So, I'll switch it on.
Hello.
Hi.
Oops, it doesn't seem to be fully developed.
So, show us what you can do. Pack the dishwasher.
No, the saucers go there.
Oh, and these plates don't go in the dishwasher at all.
What's going on? This thing doesn't even know that cups have to be turned upside down.
Right, that's enough.
Many of the things we do intuitively are not intuitive for AI. Something we can do easily may be extremely complex for a machine. On top of that, people often assume technology is capable of more than it really is, especially if it doesn't look like a disc-shaped RoboVac, but has a body like ours.
If you have a robot, then it has two legs, and it has two arms. It's a humanoid robot. So you expect it to walk, because why would it have two legs if it doesn't walk? You expect it to grab something on the table, because it has two arms and hands. So the outer appearance and the design of the outer appearance influences the expectations that humans have towards these machines. And in that moment, when you have a face in front of you that seems to be a human face, but it's actually a robotic face, what would you expect it to do? You would expect it to smile, to frown, to use natural language, of course, to interact with you. So all these social aspects that come into play between humans that are also a fundamental basis for intelligence can then be investigated with these kind of robots.
Researchers like Christiane Becker-Asano use artificial intelligence and robots to learn more about human beings, to understand better how we express emotion, so that perhaps, sometime, they will be able to invest AI with the ability to understand what joy is, what it means to mourn, or how it feels to be afraid. However,
well, after many discussions with psychologists, I have to admit that there might be more than just computations that makes feelings. Same way as there might be more that makes us intelligent than just computations.
Maybe not everything can be expressed in data, algorithms, and models. Perhaps real human feelings and real human intelligence can only be experienced by humans.
It's like a simulation of weather. If you have a simulation, a big house with a storm and wind machines and everything, you go in there and everyone say, yeah, it feels like the storm, yes. But it's not the storm, because it's just a simulation of the storm. Real weather is different. And that's the same with a machine that has emotions or seems to be intelligent.
So, machine intelligence seems to have its limits. Or will it outstrip us one day?
If we don't do this technology right, it will come back and bite all of us in the end.
And that's the subject of the next episode.
This was episode 7 of AI and Us, a science podcast by the Alexander von Humboldt Foundation. The experts in this episode were Christian Becker-Asano, Professor for Artificial Intelligence at the Hochschule der Medien in Stuttgart. Martin Butt, former Alexander von Humboldt Foundation Theodor Lunen Fellow and Professor of Computer Science, Psychology and Cognitive Systems at the University of Tübingen. And Milica Gacic, Sofia Kovaleskaya Award winner and Professor of Dialogue Systems and Machine Learning at University Düsseldorf.